This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Mattingly swings and he has a drive to deep right center. It is high, it is far, it is gone. Back to back, Nina belly to belly.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. So the New York Giants welcomed in Joe Flacco yesterday. Just to, you know. Actually, no, I don't know why. I have no idea why. That was a great line by Marco. They're cornering the market on former Super Bowl champions. former being the key word. As they'll meet with Russell Wilson. And now Joe Flacco. I mean, like, this is it. Like, I don't know what else to say, but this simple line. Like, Joe Flacco, this is what we want? These are the options. You're still down on the idea of Aaron Rodgers? Anyone who doesn't want Aaron Rodgers, I have no freaking idea why. I can't even muster up the counter argument. And that's what I do. Like, I come up with counter arguments. I think about counter arguments. I think about how I'm going to be countered in my argument and how I'll counter to that. This is like what I do. I sculpt arguments for a living. And I can't come up with a counter argument to wanting anybody else but Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback of the New York Giants. Like, I can't come up with one. Joe Flacco. Russell Wilson. These are the options. That's who they're talking to. Like, this team just put a ton of money into the defense. Hopefully they're going to draft a young quarterback. And now every day I'm getting more and more nervous. I know that Shedeur Sanders, it sounds like he's falling down the draft here. I have no idea if he's going to be available at three. I have no idea how the Giants feel about him. The Giants immediately started to try and work on getting up to number one, which makes me think they believe in one of the two quarterbacks. Most likely Cam Ward. I know there's been a ton of connection to them and Shedeur Sanders over the last year, but I'm getting nervous they're not going to get the quarterback in the draft. And, I mean, think about this for a second. Say they don't, right? And, again, we all say we don't want them to draft a quarterback they don't believe in. Even I say that. Now, I want them to draft a quarterback. I'm hoping that they believe in both of them and that they can figure out a way to get one of the two, but I don't want them reaching for a quarterback they don't believe in, right? I think we all say that. So imagine if Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward go 1-2 and the Giants don't have that quarterback and they're not going to take any other quarterback at 3. I would feel very confident that They're going to take one of the two, their pick of the two best defensive players, the best two players in this draft. Now, they could move back in, take a quarterback at the back end of the first round in Jackson Dart or whomever. They might take a pick in the second round with a quarterback and walk into the season with some level of expectation of having the next quarterback of the future. It won't be the same as taking him third or moving up to one, but there'll be some expectations of, hey, you took him in the second round, you're going to give him at least a legitimate look. But you're heading into a season where this coach and this GM, who just spent a ton of money on defense, who just brought in, I don't know, I think 35 different offensive linemen for depth, building this roster. They have the young wide receiver they just drafted last year. They've got the best defensive tackle in the sport. They've just added a ton of money to the defensive backfield. They're building a team here with Dable and Shane, who are on the hot seat clearly. Are you telling me you're going to walk into a season? You're going to walk into a season with Joe Flacco and no real good feel for the future quarterback on this team? Like, how in the world does that happen? What good comes from that? Where do the Giants go from there? Like, what happens? There's no way they win enough games. No way with Joe Flacco. We've seen Joe Flacco. I just watched Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco was the quarterback for the one game the Giants won at the end of the year. Like, I don't know why even visit with Joe Flacco. It's got to be Aaron Rodgers, man. And now I'm like, I've always been, it only makes sense if you have the young quarterback for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm like, at this point, who else is playing quarterback? They need Aaron Rodgers in the worst way. And if they don't get him, honestly, I don't know what to do. I suppose it's Russell Wilson if he's still hanging out. And I think Russell Wilson will wait for the New York Giants because I think him and his wife want to come to New York. I don't think they want to go to Cleveland. I know Cleveland just signed the biggest contract to a non-quarterback in history, and they're just a year removed from having a historical defense in their building. At least at home, they were one of the better defenses we've seen in a long time in their building 2 years ago, and they won some games and made the playoffs with the aforementioned Joe Flacco. But like Joe Flacco, Jameis Winston, like these are all just interchangeable pieces that do nothing for the New York Giants, nothing. And if that's what you want, like, and here's the only thing I'll say for all you tank haters, and I know there's so many, there's literally a guy who I've been tweeting with and, you know, interacting with on Twitter for a long time who has changed his Twitter handle, right? I forget what he was prior now because I don't have, but now his new Twitter handle is Tank McGonagall Tank. Tank McGonagall Tanks is his new Twitter handle. There are people out there who despise tanking. It's about winning every single game you can win. Let me ask you a serious freaking question. If the New York Giants are unable to draft one of the two quarterbacks at the top, right? And they're, who knows where the quarterbacks go from there? Like, let's be honest. It's a down quarterback. It's a down quarterback. Four quarterbacks could go in the first round. Four. I have no doubt that they could. Who knows what's available to them? Who knows what players are still there with a value? There is a chance they don't draft a quarterback in the first two rounds. If they head into the season with Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson or Joe Flacco with no legitimate quarterback of the future, what are you rooting for? Like, I want to be honest. Like, what are you rooting for? Are you rooting for 7-8 wins? Are you rooting for an improvement from last year? Are you rooting on being in the middle of the pack in the NFL, surprising some people and winning 7 games with Joe Flacco? Is that what's best for the New York Giants? Like, they're in a position right now where if they don't draft the quarterback, I don't know who they are. And I don't know what I want from them. And I don't know what's best for the franchise. And I don't know where they go from there. I don't know who's playing quarterback. I don't know the hopes that there are that there was any point on keeping the coach and the GM. Like, honestly, where the hell are they? What in, like, football purgatory are the New York Giants. If they don't draft the quarterback of the future, and at least like the idea, even with Joe Flacco or whomever, like I don't even want to think about it. And I know it's a very strong possibility. Because I do think Aaron Rodgers, I didn't talk too much about this, but clearly the option of retirement, I think it's more about waiting out the Vikings than I think it's anything else. I think that's where he wants to go. And I think he's waiting to see if that's a possibility. But maybe it's, I mean, you know, him walking on the beach with the towel wrapped around him, maybe he is reflecting on his career and whether or not he wants to do this again. I don't know. But between Vikings, between Pittsburgh, and between retirement, it's very unlikely that he becomes the next quarterback of the New York Giants. So I have to live with that, try to understand where we go from there. And I suppose Russell Wilson's the next best thing. But let's be totally honest. If they are unable to get the quarterback they believe in, I honestly don't know where the franchise is. Because if you get Aaron Rodgers or you get Russell Wilson and you have the young quarterback, it's about building a winning culture, trying to win some football games early on, and eventually transitioning to the young quarterback moving forward, seeing if you could see some promise there and feel better about next year. That's where the Giants are. If the Giants don't have that quarterback that they drafted, and they don't have Aaron Rodgers to go try to win some games, which I admit isn't ideal, but he's by far the best quarterback available to go do that. Is it best for the New York? Like, because people say they want to tank. They have no problem tanking if it's for a Manning. Like, what would be best for this New York football Giant team? What would be best? Like, I don't even know. They would be in purgatory yet again where I'm not sure if they're better off winning or losing. I don't want to feel that way anymore. I know I'm a tank guy. I am. I'm not changing that. I'm not saying I'm not. That when there comes a point, you don't have a quarterback. I believe in losing better than I'd rather win two games than win seven games if I don't have a future quarterback. I still feel that way. But it doesn't mean I like it. It doesn't mean I want to go into the season knowing I can probably get to that point. It doesn't mean I want to be there. And everyone's like, oh, you root for this every year. Because they don't have a quarterback any year. If they draft a quarterback, I'll feel differently. But I got to tell you, as I hear news about these aging, you know, has-beens, even Aaron Rodgers could fall into that category, even if I think he's the best of the aging has-beens, but he still is. And every day I'm getting more and more concerned that Tennessee's just going to take the first pick because quarterbacks are precious and they don't have one either. And every day it goes back to that stupid game against the Colts. And I'm sorry, but Tiki has renewed this feeling inside me. That rant that Tiki had about tanking and the Twitter handle guy changing it to Chris McMonagle Tanks. Like, I can't stop thinking about that stupid Colts game. Brett in Long Island saying, oh, they only moved down to 3. Yeah, if they were 1 right now, we wouldn't worry about any of this. If they had the first pick, if they lost that stupid game, they would have the number 1 pick and we wouldn't be worried about any of this. They would bring in Joe Flacco and I wouldn't care. They would bring in Russell Wilson and I wouldn't care. I'd be sitting here telling you the same thing, that I want Aaron Rodgers, but I would know at the very least I'm just going to start the season or eventually go to my future quarterback and I'll get to witness that and I'll be rooting for wins every single game. If the New York Giants don't draft a quarterback in the first 2 rounds and they bring in, even if they bring in Aaron Rodgers, no matter who they bring in, there is a very strong possibility that at some point this year I'm rooting for losses and I don't want it. They've got to figure out how to draft a quarterback. Flacco, Aaron Rodgers, all of that. We've yelled about it. We've discussed it. It's the talking point. It's what the news is. All of that is secondary to whether or not they draft their quarterback. That's it. That is, everything else is just noise. Because even if it's Aaron Rodgers, without that draft pick, without the future quarterback sitting there for the New York Giants, it doesn't even matter. None of these are long-term options. None of these are the guy. And none of these guys winning would mean, like, unless they're going to win. And I'm not saying I'll root for losses from day one, but it's hard to argue that it wouldn't be the best thing for them. They have to draft a quarterback. It's making me sick to my stomach thinking about this team without drafting a quarterback. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they want to do. I don't know what's best for them. I don't know that they're in a miserable, miserable position. There are no good quarterbacks left. It's only these aged veterans who half the reason you'd want them is to mentor a young QB. Like, they have to get a quarterback. They have to. They have to. And I know if they would have lost that game, they'd have one. So I hope everyone really loved that Colts win. I know Eddie enjoyed it. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Christy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
All right. You know, you keep
what do you got for me today?
About...
Let's go.
All right, Chris,
come on. How are you gonna get me today? Let's go. Let's figure
it
out.
Here we go. The victim. Stop being the victim.
I'm not
Chris.
Being the victim. I'm saying, let's go. We know why you called, Eddie. Let's bring it to me. What do you got for me?
All right. Well, number one, first of all, would you say you keep on saying that the team has no vision, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, if
and
they don't have
they
a quarterback,
kind of,
yeah.
They kind of right, and they kind of dumped out of their quarterback mid-season, and they should be prepared, and they should have some idea of who they would go after, right?
I mean, I guess. It takes two to tango. They tried
Sam
to go
Darnold,
after...
Sam, if they would have signed Sam Darnold for 3 years, $100 million,
yeah.
Would you be flipping out?
Would I be flipping out? I wouldn't be talking about direction because they'd have one. That's for sure. Now it's just about going to win with Sam Darnold, which he's still young. He won last year. I do believe in his ability. He scares me in the big game, and I don't know exactly what he is. But at least I would be sold on, okay, they got a young quarterback who they've invested in, and now he's the guy for the next 3 years, and let's hope it works out, which is better than where they are right now. Do I love Sam Darnold as the next quarterback in the New York Giants? I don't think I'd love it. I still would rather draft the young quarterback. But as opposed to, you know, not having the young quarterback and having Flacco, signing Sam Darnold would have been a much better option. So, yeah, I wouldn't have screamed about the identity or the who are they. It would have just been whether or not Sam Darnold's good enough to get them there.
Okay. And you make the comment of if they had the first overall pick, there wouldn't be any arguments. And
correct.
They'd be going directly for a quarterback,
correct.
Which I kind of disagree because I don't think they like either of them, a.k.a. the Matthew Stafford contract.
I got you.
So,
we've argued that point enough. I disagree
right.
with you.
Well, okay. Facts are facts. It's not. If you can't argue facts, Chris.
It's a fact.
To move up to second. Chris, stay with me. Stay on course, brother. Move up to second. What do you put that value on you?
What?
If to move up to second,
yeah.
How much would you willing to give to move up to one spot?
I would give probably, I don't know, two number twos. And then maybe a fifth.
Okay. All right. So you're willing to move up.
Oh,
when at what time you keep on saying that they gonna get a quarterback? When are they gonna pick up the phone to make an offer? Because you said that last year about going after a quarterback, and all they did was do a little dance over to New England. They never really put a package together.
They were told no.
Any kind of offer. Just
they were told
like,
no. They
just
were,
like
up
Barkley,
until the
just
draft.
Like Barkley, oh, well, here we go. Just like Barkley, they didn't put a pack. They all talk, but they didn't put a real package together
that's
and a
just,
real offer.
That's just nonsense. You just told me about facts. The facts are they made him a legitimate offer. It met like two or three different times over the course of the 2 years prior to him leaving. They made plenty of offers to Saquon Barkley. Maybe not on the last day. They had the understanding of go find a contract that's good enough. And once he did, they said, okay, goodbye. And then the idea that they haven't made, they went to New England up. They're on the phone with New England up until the day of the draft trying to convince him to make a trade. He never told them he was open to it.
Chris,
like, Eddie, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right, I know what I'm talking about because
you don't.
Juan Soto was going to be a Yankee. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be a Giant.
Yeah, no,
man.
That I'm not
okay.
saying. Did I once say he was going to be?
2 years, and he wants some kind of playoff.
So who's going to be the Giant? Who's going to be the Giant quarterback?
14.
Who's going to be the Giant quarterback?
The same person who is now. The same person who was midseason last year. Who'd they have? Nobody.
Eddie, that's not an answer. You like to put me on the
spot.
Why
isn't it an answer?
Who's the so no one the center's going to snap the ball back to nobody. Nobody's going to pick it up and run with it and hand it off to somebody. And then somebody's going to take a step back and throw it long down the field to who cares? Like this isn't Abbott and Costello.
I'm pretty sure they're going to grab someone.
This isn't
I don't think they're going to put someone in there $40 million, $35 million one year.
Eddie, you're constantly asking me hypotheticals. You want me on the record so that you could turn around and say I'm wrong. Who are the Giants going to have at quarterback?
This year coming up?
Yes.
I think they're going to take someone in the second round.
And he's going to be the starter from day one.
Who knows?
Okay. Who knows? Isn't that convenient? Eddie from Rockland gets the call up and say, who knows, but I have to give you exactly what's going to happen, and then you get to call me up and hit me with it when I'm wrong. What a very nice, easy relationship you have there, Eddie. I have to have exact answers, and when I'm wrong, you get to hit me with it. But you get to call up and say, I don't know. I just know you're wrong, Chris. And I understand that I have to have answers at what I do, but you don't have to, like, call me up, demand them, and then, like, hold them over my head. The Juan Soto is going to be a Yankee thing. Everyone said that. I'm a Yankee fan. I believed he was going to be with the Yankees. Half the people did. You're going to kill me for thinking Juan Soto is going to stay with the Yankees? They offered him a bunch of money. He chose the Mets. Congratulations. I was wrong. Great. Like that, I mean, that's a tough one to hold me on the Juan Soto thing. Okay,
that's also a prediction. Like, he's arguing with you on what happened last year with the Giants.
Yeah.
We saw it on Hard Knocks.
Yeah,
it was reported by multiple people who cover the Giants, the Patriots, the league. We know that they tried to trade up.
I know. Of course. He just, because it was never reported of exactly what the offer was.
Or what day the phone call was made.
I mean, like, it was up until the day of the draft. You watch Hard Knocks. They're literally like waiting for New England to give them the answer on whether they're willing to trade for the pick. And it's like when they got the no, it's like, all right, we're going on to Malik Nabers. Like, it was literally up until the draft they were trying to move up and take the quarterback. And again, the Matthew Stafford thing is such faulty thinking, Eddie. You don't understand, man. Again, I don't know if they're going to draft a quarterback. I don't. And I believe they love one of them because I think they want to trade up to number one. I just can't tell you Tennessee's going to be willing to do it. And I guess there's a chance they would pass on the other quarterback if it fell to them at three. I guess there's a chance. I don't think they will, but maybe they will. But I think they want the quarterback. I think they want to draft a quarterback. And, like, the idea that Matthew Stafford, because they made an offer to Matthew Stafford, means they don't want to draft the quarterback. Again, they don't have the first pick. They don't have the second pick. Right now, they are not in a position to guarantee themselves one of these two quarterbacks. That's the fact you're missing. You said I'm not allowed to just make up my own facts. Here's a fact, Eddie. They are currently not in a position to guarantee themselves one of these two quarterbacks. They have to make a trade to guarantee themselves getting one of those two guys. Who knows? And they just went through this last year where I'm sure they called Washington. I'm sure they called, like, nobody. They obviously called the Patriots. Nobody was willing to move their pick. They just went through this last year. So when a quarterback as talented as Matthew Stafford was suddenly made available, they thought, well, listen, maybe this is worth something. We still believe he's very good. We think that Brian Daboll in this offense can be a hell of a lot more successful with this quarterback. Well, maybe we'll find another way to get the quarterback of the future. But hey, let's change our plans here and see if we can get what's available that we know is on the market right now. Let's talk to him and see if we can come up with a contract. Let's talk to the Rams and see if we can come up with a trade that would make things work where we will then know we can get our quarterback. They knew that was open to them, so they went down that road. That doesn't mean they don't want any of the two quarterbacks because, again, they're not in a position to get one right now. Tennessee has to be willing to move the pick or not take a quarterback. Cleveland has to be willing to move the pick or not take a quarterback. They don't know these things. Those could be the first two picks of the draft. Ward Sanders can go 1-2, and the Giants can be sitting out in the cold, not having an ability to take the quarterback. So they went down the road of Matthew Stafford. And then the second that road was closed to them, every report from every reporter came out that the Giants are interested in moving up to number one. Those are facts, Eddie. Those are the facts. I don't know who the hell's going to be quarterback for the New York Giants. I don't know who the hell they're going to pick. But this team desperately needs a future. And again, to your point about Sam Darnold, that would have been the answer to the future. Absolutely. If they paid him, if they gave Sam Darnold $100 million over 3 years, that ends, they still might take a quarterback in the third round, fourth round or something, because they only have DeVito on the roster. But that would have been, they wouldn't have taken one at the top of the draft, and that would have been it. Hey, let's win with Sam Darnold over the next couple of years. Let's see if it's good enough. That would have been, at least it would have been a direction. And I wouldn't have been rooting for losses at any point during the year. But that didn't happen. They don't have someone as young and talented as Sam Darnold. They're looking at the best of the rest, and the best of the rest suck outside of Aaron Rodgers. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Let's get Joe Flacco. That's good. We'll get Joe Flacco because they don't like one of the two quarterbacks. Just, I don't understand.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Ball game over. A perfect game. A perfect game for David Cone.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:37, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Ba-da-da. We had the Johnny's earlier in the day take care of Butler. 78-57, got off to a strong start. Took care of Butler. And they move on to tomorrow. They will play Marquette tonight, 6:30. Obviously, just beat Marquette last game of the regular season with the overtime win. Going to have to take care of them again. Are we destined for another St. John's UConn? That would be, I mean, you get St. John's UConn in the finals of the Big East tournament. That is a fun night. That is a fun night. And then we get ready for the tournament already here. Next week, I'll be in for Keith all week as he's heading down to spring training. Love to go to spring training. I gotta head down one of these years. I'll be in Florida at the end of April, but no spring for me. But the Johnnies getting ready, this team, they're shooting the ball much better. They obviously play defense. I mean, the coach is just, he's really, again, we've seen it from afar. And I guess Iona, it's close, but it was Iona. To see him, competing in this way, having the season they're having, watching him on Jimmy Fallon, watching him do all these interviews, watching him have fun taking shots at his team. I mean, last year was different when he took shots at his team. But this year, he has these subtle ways to get after the players. They play so hard for him. This team that really isn't. I mean, you look at it, obviously, Richmond's a very good player. R.J. Lewis Jr., has had a really good year. Obviously, very good player. Scored 20 in this game yesterday. They're shooting, they shot 35% from the three-point line. With the way they play defense, if they shoot 50 from the field, 35 from three, they've got a chance to win. They've got a legitimate chance to win. It's exciting right now. And the Big East tournament's fun. All these conference tournaments are fun. and we get ready for the best tournament in sports. There is nothing better. To me, it's really next Thursday and Friday. A week from yesterday, a week from today, those are the two best days of the tournament. That is the tournament, all the upsets, all the games, all day long. I mean, that's these 2 days are great. We talked about how many people get how many men get the snip for these 2 days. It's the biggest time of year for men to have the a vasectomy, so they can sit on the couch and watch college basketball all day long. These are the two best days, arguably the two best sporting days of the year. So we look forward to that. Rangers got a win in overtime against the Wild, as they now are tied for the final wild card spot. And we'll see what they do. I mean, I really don't have much faith in this team right now. I really don't. You know, Igor has been up and down. Lafreniere, I heard someone calling into Keith earlier. What a disappointment off of last year. Like, last year was the year. There was so much talk heading into the season about where he stood with the with this Rangers organization heading into the year. And really from the jump of the season last year, Lafreniere looked like a first overall pick coming into his own. He was never as good as a first-round pick should look. He's not ever been as good as what we've seen from Hughes with the Devils when healthy. But at least last year, he was an extremely important, valuable piece. I mean, he was scoring goals at the start of the year. He was really looking, you know, skating great. He looked like a different player this year. I mean, he's completely absent. He has completely regressed. It is such a disappointment. And if you look at the idea that back-to-back years, the New York Rangers had the second pick and then the first pick in the NHL draft, and Lafreniere was the guy. It was the Lafreniere draft. He was the consensus first pick. Whoever had the first pick was taking him. The year before, with Kaapo Kakko, there were some thoughts that maybe Kaapo's the best, Hughes is the best. Obviously, Hughes goes first. It wasn't as definitive. But in back-to-back seasons, they got Kaapo Kakko with the second pick, and then they got Lafreniere with the first pick. And Kaapo Kakko's already gone. And I'll be totally honest with you, I haven't checked on him recently, but the beginnings of his Seattle career were he was off to a better start than he had played all year with the Rangers. And he's already gone. And now Lafreniere I think he scored one goal in the last 16 or 17 games. Like, it has been an absolute disaster. It has been an absolute disaster for Lafreniere and this Ranger team. And right now, again, they're tied. They still have a chance. They're setting up, let me check the schedule real quick, because I know they got, I think they got a game against Columbus coming up. Yeah, next. What's today, the 14th? Yeah, so tomorrow, Saturday night, 7 p.m. at Columbus. It's an enormous game. That is a huge game. They are now tied with them in the standings for the final wild card spot. Let me just double check. Columbus has a game in hand. They both have 70 points. Ottawa has pulled away a little bit. They've won 5 in a row. They have 75 points with a game in hand over the Rangers. So right now they are a point up on Montreal, and they are tied with 70 points with Columbus heading into Saturday night. Columbus has now lost 2 games after beating the Rangers. Saturday night in Columbus, that is an enormous game for the New York Rangers. That is a huge game if they're going to want to make a run here. And then honestly, even if they make the run, do we have any confidence this team can put together sustained good play to get through the gauntlet that is the NHL playoffs? Now, I know Igor at any moment can become the best goalie in the world, right? He has that capability. So do other goalies. But he's got that capability where if he's on his game, he can be one of, if not the best goalie in the world. And that's always makes you dangerous. But I have no faith in this team moving forward. I don't know what to expect with them, but I do want to see some fight down the stretch, and I do want to see them get in. Otherwise, it is just a disastrous final season for Sam Rosen, too. I mean, this is how you're going to end Sam Rosen's career? By falling out of the playoffs like this? Disaster. Disaster. Last night, Curry hit his 4,000th three. Can you imagine? Like, and it's unbelievable, too, because when you see the 4,003, then you go look at the other players on the list. James Harden is number two. Like, the game is so completely changed that the greatest shooters throughout history aren't anywhere near this list. It's, you know, it's James Harden. Ray Allen is up there. He's one of the better shooters in there. But, like, Larry Bird's nowhere near it. Obviously, you know, some of the great shooters in this league, Jerry West played before there was a three-point shot. But still, 4,000 threes. I mean, the guy changed the game, but we'll get to the Knicks in a little bit. I want to get to the Knicks next, but maybe we'll do it here. As coming off of that win last night, we didn't have the opportunity. Like, as soon as the game ended, we played the 2 minutes that Tibbs reacted after the game, and nothing was really about the conversation. But apparently, Tibbs denied ever having the conversation in the postgame last night. And then, obviously, today the reports came out that they had a talk before the game about the minutes and what was said and what came out, and it was a productive conversation. And look, you know, coming off that win, I focused mainly on that because I got an opportunity to react to it, but the story just overall of Mikal Bridges and what this team needs, like, and whether or not he was the perfect messenger or how we feel about it, like, I know I saw Frank Isola getting all over him. Like, to me, I understand what he's saying, and I think we all agree. Like, that's the thing. Like, we saw this team last year fade down the stretch. We know what the issues are with Tibbs and the minutes and what the NBA does. Like, there's a reason for load management. We might not like it. We might complain about it. It might be a problem inside the league. It might be something the NBA player, the NBA, the league and the commissioner are trying to fix. But ultimately, there's a reason for it. This is a long season. These guys play a ton of minutes, a ton of basketball. It takes a toll on them. We're seeing injuries, and this Knicks team is faded. Let's be honest. From when it started, the great year that, you know, they faded down the stretch and couldn't, you know, beat the Hawks in the playoffs. Last year, just completely decimated by injury. We're exhausted by the end. And the last thing you want to see is that now, and then we talk about the blessing in disguise that could be the Brunson injury. Not only is it that you could see guys step up like Mikal Bridges and Karl Anthony Towns and some of the bench, but maybe you get a, even though it's a sprained ankle, maybe just the idea that you've given him a break for a month. You've given him a break for at least 3 weeks off his feet where he should be refreshed. He should be raring to go as soon as he gets back and into the playoffs, but I didn't think it was much. I didn't think it was that big of a story. I respect Mikal Bridges for coming out and having the nerve to say, hey, look, play some bench guys. Like, I can't play every minute of the game. And this would be a guy. And the one thing, and I heard Evan say this, and he's 100% right. I know right now he's been underachieving as a New York Knick, but if anyone's going to talk about minutes, this guy has not missed a single game in his NBA career. Not one. He is the Iron Man of the NBA. He plays more minutes and more games than anyone in the NBA. So if someone has the ability to speak on how you feel by the end of the year, what you're expecting from your body at the end of the year, how you need the bench, like, this guy has a legitimate perspective on it, and I respect him for coming out and saying what we all think. Like, let's be fair, we all think it. Even the people who think the minutes police are a bit strong still agree that the bench needs to be instituted more and that Tibbs has to open up his rotation, especially on games that they have leads or games that you expect them to be able to win. You can't ride these guys the way he rides them all year long. This has been his MO dating back to Chicago and Rose. So I never thought it was that big of a deal. I never thought the Knicks thought it was that big of a deal. I never thought Mikal Bridges thought it was that big of a deal. Because if he did, I don't think he would have said it publicly. I don't think he was expecting the reaction he got, because I doubt he admits it publicly if he did. But ultimately, this Knicks team, after that win, and still going to be missing out on Bridges, they've got, you know, a stretch here, and they got the Warriors back on Saturday night, 8:30 on ABC in Golden State. Like, that's a game. How about a little bit of payback? As, you know, Curry hits his 4,003, we watched him celebrate at the Garden. Obviously, the storyline of, you know, Karl Anthony Towns at the funeral and why he missed that last game, and, you know, Draymond Green and getting on him and all the nonsense he said. And then in the postgame, or the pregame of the next game they played, when he was confronted with the idea that Karl Anthony Towns was at a funeral, he gave one of the more weird, well, you know, I'm sorry about that, but hey, death is something we all have to agree with. We all have to deal with. My podcast will go on. Like, it was one of the weirder. It was one of the weirdest statements I've ever heard. You know, have you heard why Karl Anthony Towns actually missed the game? No, I didn't. Why? What? Oh, well, you know, he had a funeral. Oh, well, I'm very sorry for him and his and whatever's going on with his family. My thoughts go out there. But hey, you know, death is part of life, and my podcast will continue. I was like, what? It was so bizarre. It was so weird. So it's time for a little payback as the Knicks are riding a two-game winning streak off of the buzzer beater from Mikal Bridges the other night. Finishing up, I think they're finishing up. I think they head home from Miami on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Let's double check that. Yes, this is the end of the West Coast. They go back out to San Antonio, but this is the end of the West Coast trip on Saturday night. Then they head home to play Miami Monday night on ESPN. So, as they finish up this West Coast trip, it started pretty freaking awful as they lost to Golden State at home before heading out. They lost to the Lakers. They obviously lose Brunson in the process. They go out, they lose to the Clippers. They rally back, blow out the Kings, take down Portland last night in overtime, and now they'll head to Golden State for the final run of this five-game West Coast trip. But this is a big game. It's a big game to stick it to Golden State, get a little revenge. I'd like to see Karl Anthony Towns have a little bit of an attitude. Now, I don't know how much he takes Draymond Green seriously. I don't know how he feels about someone questioning his time away. I don't know how he feels about being called out that he was afraid of players. But I'd like to see a guy who we're talking about being soft, who we're not sure whether or not he's going to show up in the big game. Everything that comes with Karl Anthony Towns, as well as the great ability, the ability to score, starter on the the Eastern Conference All-Star team. Like, it all comes together. But right now, as they are without Jalen Brunson, you need these guys to step up. And the other night in Portland was Mikal Bridges' night. Karl Anthony Towns going against this Golden State Warriors team, where everything that's going on, whether it's, you know, how the success they've had at the Garden and the way they handled that game the other night in Madison Square Garden, Draymond Green's comments, Steph Curry hitting 4,000 threes last night and dancing all over the place like he typically does and like he does every time he plays the Knicks. And we all have to hear about how they were one draft picked away from getting him. Like, this is a big game. And let's see if Karl Anthony Towns can show up for it. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jose in the Bronx. What's up, Jose?
Hey, T-Mac. How are you, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
T-Mac. My bad. Listen, I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, listen, you know what I wanted to talk to you? I think I might have called you a couple weeks ago, and I said, why are we still giving a Mikal Bridges a pass? He's over there talking stuff, right? I envisioned when he came to this team that we got at least 22 points a night.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough because, you know, Karl Anthony Towns. Is an offensive player. You know, I mean, if you look at his numbers, his shooting percentage is pretty much where it was last year. Like, he's just not the go-to offensive player like he was
right.
with Brooklyn.
I get that part. But and then like he stepped up the other night and he won the game for us. But I need more consistency. I need. Why not 22 a night? He should be
without Brunson, I can give you the 22 a night, sure. But when you got Jalen Brunson, you got Karl Anthony Towns, they're two starters in the All-Star game, and their games are offensive. Neither of them played defense a lick. the main reason he was brought over here was, yes, to be that third scorer, but also between him and OG Anunoby, you've got two of the premier perimeter defenders in the sport. That's been where he's been more disappointing. He has not been nearly as good defensively as he's been in Brooklyn and Phoenix. Like, that's the issue. And fighting through screens and showing toughness. And the offensive part of his game that I've been killing has been more of his aggression and getting to the basket. The guy never gets to the free throw line. Now, in the last game, he took six foul shots. I mean, he was averaging one foul shot a game. One a game for up until the last couple games without Jalen Brunson. He was averaging one foul shot a game. That's hard to do.
So, I think I could go out there and get fouled.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, go to the basket a little bit. He does not want to go to the basket. He does not want to be physical. He does not want to fight through screens. And he's not been nearly as good a defender as he was last year. But offensively, I don't know what... I'm not saying he's been good, because he hasn't been. And his shot hasn't been there really all year from behind the arc. His mid-range game has been pretty good. And if you actually look at his overall field goal percentage, it's pretty much the same, if not slightly better, than it was last year. But to just say, hey, when he came over, I know it's for five draft picks, but he's the third option on the team. There were going to be nights where he would go off. I anticipated that. But this is Jalen Brunson's team. Secondly, it's Karl Anthony Towns' team. And then it's Jalen Brunson's team offensively. I mean, then it's Mikal Bridges' team offensively. He's the third guy. To expect him to average 22 points when he's the third option offensively, I think that's probably a bit unfair. And you'd like to have him shoot the three a little bit better than he shot this year. But my main problem with his offensive game has been his aggressiveness. He's shown no fight. He's shown no willingness to mix it up. He never tries to go to the basket. Like, it's all these fadeaway, you know, mid-range jump shots and open threes. And if he were hitting more open threes, I suppose I'd be less upset about his unwillingness to go to the basket. But when I watch him, I don't see, and I talked about this too, the team is always going to be compared to last year's team. Not only because last year's team was successful and we fell in love with it, but it got blown up without ever seeing it healthy. Right? We'll never know. We really didn't get a good chance to see that team that was in January, where it was the best team in the NBA for a full month. And it had Randall and DiVincenzo and OG Anunoby. Like, that team that was so good never finished it. And so it wasn't only that they were successful when we fell in love with them. It was that they didn't get a chance. And they blew it up for Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. And we were going to always kind of, what would have been better? Like, I still hear the midday show talking about it. I'm just saying, it's a conversation. Like, was this team better? Or which team was more suited to make it a run through the playoffs? Was last year's team better? Was this year's team better? Oh, last year's team was so much tougher. And like that's the conversation that I knew we were always not only going to compare them against the Celtics and the Cavaliers, we were going to compare them against last year's team. And watching Mikal Bridges play, he's not tough enough to play on last year's team. Like, last year's team was built on grit, guile, and toughness. And Brunson emerging to becoming a superstar. But it was built on OG Anunoby's defense. It was built on, you know, DiVincenzo's fearlessness, taking threes, Brunson becoming a superstar. You know, that's what that team was built on. And now this team's slightly different, but watching Mikal Bridges, one, he's not hitting enough threes. Two, he's just not physical enough for me. And I know it's not the 90s NBA. I'm not expecting them to throw guys into the... not expecting them to dive through the, you know, the table or anything like that. Or, you know, be Dennis Rodman out there. But I still expect them to get some foul shots. Averaging one foul shot per game is unacceptable. It's just not... you're not trying to get to the basket enough. And he certainly wasn't physical enough defensively, which has been the major issue. But again, I'm hoping last night can be the turning point where we say this is where Bridges found himself and he played the rest of the season like his hair was on fire. We're hoping that's the case.